Anyway, thank y'all for coming. Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20. Now this morning I preached hard. I really preached hard. And, but, you know, you can go anywhere and get, you know, milk. You can go to Dollar General now and get milk. But it's hard to find steak. And every once in a while we need some steak in the Word. He said, I fed you milk because you weren't able to eat meat. And this morning we passed the meat around. And I think our churches are in need of meat. I think they're anemic. If you don't eat meat, you'll get anemic. And I think our churches are anemic. They get a lot of milk and white bread. White bread is not even good for you. It's done been bleached out. All the good stuff's gone. Whole wheat's good. And so tonight I thought about being sweet. I really thought about it. I really thought about preaching sweet. I really did. I preached too long this morning. I know I did. I'm not apologizing. I'm just saying I preached too long. I'm not apologizing. The Lord was in every bit of it. I could have preached. I could have. Somebody told Brother Billy Burgess going out, said, I can't believe he preached till 12:30. And Billy said, he told him, said, I've known him preach a lot longer than that. But tonight, I want to get not sweet, but I want to get a little deep, okay? So you need to put your ears on, all right? I want to get deep. And I'm going to teach you something. It's going to be more teaching preaching tonight. And I'm going to teach you something that is, I don't know, it's rare. It's rare that you even hear this subject anymore. It's very rare, to be honest with you. Because it is offensive to people. And anytime the word is offensive, it's not something wrong with the word, it's something wrong with the people. So I figure if something's wrong, it's going to be you, not the word, all right? So if you get offended, you take it up with the writer. I'm just reading it, all right? Amen. And I'm not apologizing. I'm just setting you up. Okay. Amen. Look at Leviticus chapter 20, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, again thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech. Now seed meaning children. Molech was a false god. He was an idol. They built a fire inside of him. He was made out of iron or something. They'd build fire inside of him. They'd heat it up. And then they'd sacrifice their children to that idol by throwing them on the fire. And so now he's teaching against that. And any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. And wouldn't you agree with God, anybody deserves death that would do their children that way? Should surely be put to death. The people of land shall stone him with stones, and I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people. Now he's talking about God's people. I'm going to cut him off because he hath given of his seed unto Molech to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. In other words, he was profaning God by saying God's not the only God, or he's not real God, or something like that. Now, verse 4, and if the people of the land do any ways hide their eyes from the man, in other words, they don't look to see what he's doing. They hide their eyes from the man. When he giveth his seed unto Molech, and kill him not. In other words, they ignore what he's doing, and they don't exact the punishment that God has given to this man. Then will I set my face against that man and against his family, and will cut him off and all that go a whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among their people. Now, I'm going to explain that word in just a minute, what that means. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits, they claim the dead speak through them. And after wizards, that's that stuff you let your kids watch on TV and at the movies. To go a whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. That's pretty serious stuff. Verse 7. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy. For I am the Lord your God, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctifieth you. Brother Rudy, pray for me tonight. God, through Moses, is warning the people of God because they have taken up worshiping an idol that the people of that land were already worshiping. And because the children of Israel began to do it, then they were fellowshipping with unbelievers. And they were fellowshipping with a false god. I looked up the word fellowship. It means sharing in spiritual matters or communion, such as sharing food and fun. That's fellowship. Now, God used some words here we don't read very much anymore. He says that, then will I set my face against that man, he says, and against his family, and will cut him off, and all that go a-whoring after him. In verse 6, he says, to go a-whoring after them. Now, that's a word we don't hear much anymore. It's a word we don't hear much anymore because it's an awful word. It's an awful word. It's not a good word. It's not a nice word. It denotes a wicked behavior. Not used much because the condemnation that's associated with that. Yeah. But when we have intimate fellowship with false gods and false believers in these things, we're committing spiritual adultery. A lot of people invite me to meetings and stuff, and I don't go, and I don't try to take the time to explain to them because it'll hurt their feelings, but I'm not going to whoring.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm not doing it.
Right.
And I've had preachers want to know why I don't go to their fellowship meetings or associational meetings, things like that. And I don't explain, and you ought to be able to explain this to supposed to be mature Christians, especially preachers, but if you begin to explain it, they don't understand it, and they think you're condemning them, and they get mad at you. That word brings spiritual conviction upon a lot of people in the day we live in because they're doing it, and they know they're doing it. Our current society condemns the condemnation that God's law declares. Our society, did you understand what I said? Our current society condemns the condemnation of God. And they're saying, who are you and who's your God? What right do you have to condemn us? And therefore they use words like bigot, racist, all the homophobe, all these things. But we're not the ones condemning. God is.
That's right.
And God says if we fellowship with that crowd, then we're condemned.
Yeah.
Fellowship with God in between Christians is conditional. Now, salvation's unconditional.
Right.
Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's unconditional. Repent, believe, confess. That's unconditional. You don't have to do anything to be saved other than look unto Jesus, the author and finish of our faith. That's all you got to do to be saved, to be born again. You look to him and you ask him for it. That's unconditional. Whatever condition you're in, you may be a good person. He said he was a good person. He probably was. He wrote his life history. I read it. Wonderful history. I hope he puts it in print. I'm going to try to help him get it in a little booklet form. You all will be blessed by that. And I don't say that about everybody that gives me books. But he realized that salvation was conditional. And he couldn't be saved the way he was, even though he was a good man. But once he got saved, he realized that salvation is unconditional, but once he got saved, he realized that fellowship is conditional. God's not going to fellowship with sin. He'll save a sinner, but he won't fellowship with sinners. Y'all know the difference, don't you? Now, I know we're all sinners, but there's a classification of people that are sinners. There's a classification that are saints. And I know we say, well, I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. Well, that makes you a saint.
Amen. Yeah.
Now, that's unconditional. But after you get saved, before God will fellowship with you. Now, he'll save you, but he'll cut fellowship off with you. 1 John chapter 1, most of you already know it. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have, there's that word, fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Go back to verse 3. It says, that which we have seen and heard declare unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his son, Jesus Christ. So fellowship with God is conditional. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he says this, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? I just read you what that means, fellowship. And what concord or contract hath Christ with Belial, the son of the devil? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore? Because of that. Come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. Amen. And you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So fellowship, communion, and intimate fellowship with Christians is conditional. I'm going to show you that in just a minute. But the reason it's conditional is because fellowship with God is conditional. I just read this morning, he told these people, he said, I'm not going to hear your prayers anymore. He's telling these people, I'll cut you off. Now, as a believer, we're in Christ, that's eternal security. We're not going to lose that. But I'll tell you what, you become a disobedient child of God. Hebrews chapter 12 says he'll whip you. And just as any other disobedient child, if you don't straighten up, he'll quit blessing you. We'll not bless our children when they're disobedient. That's what ruined a lot of people. Mom and daddy enabled them to be disobedient. And boy, that's a whole nother sermon. But in order to have fellowship with God, we've got to walk in the light. That's the word of God. We've got to be obedient. Walk. That's the way we walk. Now, in 1 John 1:7, he says, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, he says, we'll have fellowship one with another. We're not to be unequally yoked. We're not supposed to walk in the darkness and claim to be a saint. Amen? Amen. I wish one of y'all would answer the Lord. He's trying to call you. I hear the phone. Listen. If we walk in the light, he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Brother Jeffrey, Brother Ron, anybody in here, we can have fellowship, intimate relationship, spiritually and physically, if we're both walking in the light. But as 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, how can two walk together? No, he didn't say that. he said, look, that if we walk in the light, he's in the light, and we have fellowship one with another. And then he tells in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that we're not supposed to have fellowship with anybody who's disobedient. I've said from this pulpit before, everybody comes to this church, if you are walking in light, you shouldn't go home with them.
Amen. That's right.
I'm glad to come to church, and I'm glad they're doing good as they're doing. But if you're really walking in the light, I don't care what church you go to, there's people in that church you probably shouldn't go home with. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6, Second Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 6 says this: Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye what? Withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after tradition that he received of us. In other words, if this is a Christian out of the will of God, out of the word of God, living disobedient, he says, now you need to get away from that. I don't know how good you can swim. I swim real good. But I've always been scared to death I was going to have to try to rescue a drowning person, because they'll drown you. They're panicking. They're doing it wrong, and they know they're doing it wrong. And they don't care if they push you under and use you for a flotation device. Amen? And that's the same way that Christians are out of the will of God. They're drowning, and they'll take you down with them. Amen. That's the truth. Now, fellowship between Christians implies approval or endorsement of one another. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. Now, what I'm saying is this. I'm not saying we ought to hate everybody. Brother Ron said, right, God loves everybody. But God doesn't bless everybody. God doesn't bless. I'll tell you one better verse. 2 John. Go to 2 John. I'm trying to hurry. 2 John chapter 10. I'm trying to make up for this morning so you can get home and eat a peanut butter and banana sandwich tonight. 2 John. Not 1 John, but 2 John. Okay, there's only one chapter. Look at verse 10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house. Neither bid him Godspeed. Well, why not, Lord? Well, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. What he's saying is, if a Christian out of the will of God or teaching wrongly, they come to your house and say, we want to fellowship with you, we want to study the Bible, have a prayer meeting, you say, no, I can't do that. And then they begin to leave, and you say, but I hope you have good luck, and I hope you get your Bible study going, and I hope everything goes real good. Well, what you're doing then, you're endorsing his bad doctrine or bad lifestyle. And as far as the world sees it, they see it as you agreeing with this guy that has absolutely no idea about being in the will of God, apparently. I'm not talking about being mean to people. But I'm talking about, I'm not going to even imply, I'm not even going to make the look of approval when people are out of the will of God. I'm not going to do that.
Amen.
Yeah. I think they ought to come to church. I'm not saying that don't let them come to church. Where else are they going to get help? I'm not. But I'm saying this. I'm not going over there to have Bible study. Yeah. We've had people leave this church mad at me and have Bible studies and stuff at their house. And I never went, and I never told anybody to go. And it wasn't because I hate them. I just wasn't going to put my endorsement on something.
Amen.
I got preacher friends, and I call them friends, and they're friends. I have preacher friends and pastor friends. But I don't invite them here to speak. You know why? Because I believe that they're I'm not judging people for everything they do. But I'm saying, I know one, he's been married 3 times. I love him to death. I love the man. I love him. And he's done great things for God. But we're trying to raise youngins down here to be married 1 time. I'm not saying he's of the devil. I'm just saying I'm not going to put my stamp on it. I love him. He loves me. We communicate with each other. And he just knows I'm not going to have him preach for me. And you probably wouldn't even know that he'd been married 3 times. And I believe they were all his fault. I believe every one of them was his fault. I don't have to agree with everybody, love everybody. But I don't have to have fellowship with everybody either. A lot of these new boys coming up and some older ones too, and they're wrong on their doctrine. They're wrong. They're just wrong. They don't study enough to know that they're wrong. All they do is repeat that TV preacher or the one they heard on YouTube. They don't even know they're wrong. But I'm not going to tell you when they're having revivals because I don't want you to go down there and get that wrong doctrine too. I don't hate them. I just ain't fellowshipping. Now, according to my Bible, they're supposed to be walking in the light. They're supposed to be living separate from sin. He commands us, we read it, be ye holy. He said, sanctify yourselves. Now I know when we got saved, Brother Ron, He sanctified us. He set us apart out of the world into the body of Christ. But then He's saying, you now need to sanctify yourself. There's some things you need to set yourself apart from. There's some things you need to come out of. There's some people you need to leave. Fellowship between Christians is conditional. Not love. I love them all. But fellowship. Sit down an intimate time with intimate Bible study or just to go hang out. I ain't much of a hanger outer, by the way. The biggest hanger out I do, wasting time, is floating down the river with Billy Burgess for 3 hours. And I don't know how I ever got started on that. I feel convicted every time I do it. 3 hours. 3 hours. But his wife does bring good snacks. And we have some deep spiritual thought going down the river. Yeah. If you go anywhere with Billy Burgess, you'll have some deep, strange, spiritual thoughts. But if you get to hang around with everybody that says they're a Christian, you're going to get messed up.
Amen.
You're going, I'm telling you, you're going to get messed up. I've seen it again and again and again and again. And the Christian life is not a popular life, and it's a narrow way. It's not the wide way. You will not have a lot of close friends. You will not have a lot of close family anymore. You'll have to come out from among them. You'll have to be separate. You'll have to make some hard decisions to live some hard ways. And people ain't going to understand it. And some of them's going to condemn you for it. Because while they're whoring with the world, spiritual adultery, you're trying to live chaste and true and pure for God.
Amen.
That's good. That's good preaching. Yeah. Fellow told me one day he lied to me. He said he was coming to church. Of course, I get that all the time. He said, but if I come to your church, he said, lightning will strike. The roof will fall in. I said, you think a whole lot more of you than I think of you. He said, well, your people won't want to sit beside me. They don't know what I've done. I said, there's some people in my church you won't want to sit beside if you knew what they did. Amen. The difference between you and him is that you've sanctified yourself. He hadn't.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's enough to make a Presbyterian shout. Listen, we don't have a lot of fellowship. I don't. My fellowship's with my wife, my children, my family. My fellowship's here with you. My fellowship be dinner on the grounds. Men's meetings, Bible studies. There's a lot of good Christians that don't agree with me, and I don't agree with them on some things. I'm not saying they're going to hell. I'm not even saying they're whoring after idols. But I am saying they're wrong, and if they don't, and by the way, when you're wrong, you usually know it. If you sit around and argue with somebody all the time over one certain doctrine, you know you're wrong.
Amen.
You can't be the only one in the world that believes that stuff. You know you're wrong.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
We was out knocking on doors one Saturday afternoon, no, Thursday afternoon, about dark, and had a couple of fellas with me, and we were in this old trailer park, and I told them, I said, don't argue with people. Don't argue with people. Number one, you're not old enough in the Lord to know how to argue about it. And I said, number two, if they're wanting to argue, they probably ain't old enough in the Lord to do it either. And I was ready to go. A couple of us came, was going to ride with me and some more in another car. And I said, where's those boys at? There's three of them. I said, well, they got hung up in that trailer over there. I went over there. There was about five or six people sitting in there. And I introduced myself. I said, folks, I'm so sorry. My boys have been holding y'all up. I know you probably want to get ready for bed and stuff at about 8:30. And I said, I'm sorry. And they said, oh, no, we were having a Bible study. And I looked at that boy and said, what y'all having a Bible study about? He said, the Trinity. And that man said, there ain't no such thing. He said, ain't none of y'all even baptized. Baptists don't baptize right. He said, in Acts 2, it says that to believe and be baptized in the name of Jesus, or 4, whatever it was. I said, well, I said, y'all boys go to the car, go on. And they went in the car, and this guy jumped up with his Bible, you know. By the way, they looked like heathens. But I said, all right, that's right. I said, that's right, you're right. I said, but you know what? Jesus said, do it this way. And I flipped over Matthew 28. And I said, what does it say right there? It says, start with baptizing. He said, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I said, that's three, ain't it? I said, I come from Lancaster, but I'm counting to three. That's three. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He said, well, y'all baptizing wrong. He says over here in Acts. I said, I know what he said. But if you baptize in the name of the Father, then what's the Son's name? He said, Jesus. And I said, the Holy Ghost, you just baptize him in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, y'all believe you can lose your salvation too. I said, that's a whole nother topic. And you don't understand that one either. You need to find your church, start going to church. Amen. And I left them alone. But then another day, I knocked on door years and years and years and years ago when I was down in Lancaster. And before I was knocking on doors, before I ever got to the door, there was a boy out in the yard. And as I walked up, I always holler at people to let them know I'm not the tax man or the detective, you know. I said, hey, I'm Ron Wright. As soon as I got up there, he said, we've been looking for you. I said, you have? I might have been 25. You know, that scared me. This hippie looking guy. We've been looking for you. I said, you have? He said, yeah, come in the house. So I walked up there, you know, and there was two other boys and a girl. They all lived in that little old house. Smelt like pot, you know. And he said, look what I found, a preacher. And the other guy said, we've been looking for you. I said, yeah. He said, yeah, we've been studying the book of Revelation. We don't understand all this stuff. Will you teach it to us? I said, I'd be proud to teach that to you, but you got to do something else first, or you're not going to understand it. He said, what? And I turned him to 2 Corinthians, I forgot my verse, 2 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man understandeth not things of the spirit, for the spiritually discerned. I turned him over to Ephesians, and I said, ye who were dead in trespass sin. And I turned him over to John 3, I said, you must be born again. I said, if you'll get born again, you'll be spiritually alive, and this is a spiritual book. You'll be able to understand a spiritual book, but first you need to get saved. They didn't argue with me. And we talked about the Bible a little bit. They started coming to church. They got their heart right with God. They went back home to their parents where they belong. Now they were seekers of truth. They were really wanting to fellowship with the brethren and with God himself. But I walked up on another door. Right here in Rock Hill, probably about 15 years ago now. I knocked on that, but I was knocking on doors, and when I come up this yard, there was three of them in the yard, and I could smell strange smoke. You know, it was offering up strange fire. And I introduced myself, and the first thing one of them said, "You believe in smoking weed?" I said, "No, I don't believe in smoking any kind of weed." He said, "Well, it's in the Bible." I said, "It ain't in the Bible." He said, "Yeah, it is over there. It says that he created all the herb of the field for them to eat." I said, "The key word's eat." I said, "He's talking about tomatoes and cucumbers. He ain't talking about smoking the stuff." And they wanted to argue about it. I said, "When y'all boys get ready to get saved, here's my phone number. Call me and I'll come sit down with you. Until then, you're just being foolish. You don't want to talk to me." Now y'all listen to me. If we want our personal lives to be blessed by God, we're going to have to fellowship with Him. If we want to be a blessing to somebody else that we want to fellowship with, we're going to have to be right with them too.
Amen.
And did you know a sinner would rather for a saint to be right with God and try to fellowship with them than a sinner would want a saint to be wrong with God and try to fellowship with them? Because they'll tell you right quick, "I can spot a hypocrite in a minute." Sinners will tell you that. Fellowship, remember, sharing in spiritual matters or communion, or sharing time and food with. Now, I'm going to say this. I said it this morning. If we're going to be right with God, and we're going to raise our families right, and we're going to be the right kind of church, we're going to have to sanctify ourselves. See, Brother Ron, if I don't sanctify me, how's my children going to get sanctified? I remember growing up, I'd see men sit around, they'd say, they'd look at their sons, they'd have a beer in their hand, say, "If I ever catch you with a beer in your hand, I'll kill you." And I thought, "You dirty, rotten hypocrite." And I'd hear people while they were smoking cigarettes, "If I ever catch you with a cigarette in your mouth, I'll beat you to death." I thought, "You dirty, rotten hypocrite." Now how can we as children of God fellowship with the devil and the devil's crowd and still tell people what's right and what's wrong?
Amen. Yeah.
Can't do it. They're not going to listen to us if we try. One more story. Story number 275, okay? I used to work at a place called Bendix Brake System, heavy vehicle. You remember this one, Billy? I know you do. 265. I worked at Heavy Vehicle Systems for Bendix. They were a division of Ford. I know you like that. You wanted to hear that. And it's Chevrolet, GM. But we made brakes for these big tractor trailer trucks. I was going to Bible college at night and working there during the day. I was trying to keep a good testimony. I really was. I was trying to keep a good testimony. But there was Christians in there who were not trying to keep a good testimony. And every time I'd say something, they'd say, "Well, he says, or she does." But I just kept on trying to keep a good testimony. Me and two elderly white ladies and two elderly black ladies, I started a Bible study at lunch every day. I was 20-something years old, started Bible study, and they'd come and we'd study the Bible together. Wonderful women. They were all good-sized women. They liked to cook. They liked to cook a lot of cake. And they made it their life goal. They told me, "We're going to make it our life goal to fatten you up." I weighed 150, 147, 150 pounds, and they thought it was their job to fatten up the little preacher boys. And I told them, I made a deal with them. I said, "I'll tell you what I do. You cook everything you like, cakes, pies, whatever you like. You cook it and you bring it and you can watch me eat it and you won't get fat and I won't either." And so they made that deal. But we were sitting there one day and we were having a Bible study, and they all had King James Bibles, by the way. And this guy come out and he had on this t-shirt. And it said something about garden party, and it had beer and wine on it, you know. And he was going to Presbyterian College. And he was studying for the ministry. For a Methodist church. They don't know the difference. And he come out there with his shirt on, you know, and he sat down. And we had, and we talked about the new birth. And when lunch was over, he got up and he proudly said, "I'm going to have to start coming to more of these. I'm learning some things." And one of them old black ladies looked at him and said, "You sure do need to come to more of these. There's a lot you need to learn." Now he claimed to be a Christian. Another day, a Jehovah's Witness boy came out there. He brought that family Bible they carry. You know, they got that big old thick Bible. He had that thing, and it said New World Translation. And one of those ladies said, I knew that was going to start coming. I knew it. I said, "That's all right. We're going to teach on the new birth again today." So I taught on, "You must be born again. You must be born again. Admit you're a sinner. Believe on Christ. Confess it with your mouth. Call on Him. Get baptized. Make a public commitment." And that old boy just sit there and he's searching all through that Bible. Can't find what we're talking about. And he gets up that day and he says, "I need to come to more of these. I learned something today." And that old black lady looked at him and said, "Yeah, I saw that Bible. There's a lot you need to learn." Amen. Now what if we'd been out there and acting like everybody else? Amen. Amen. Another lady, she was a big leader in one of the Southern Baptist churches, her and her husband. And she came up to me one day and was wanting to raise money for something that I didn't think I should give money to. So I said, "I'm sorry, I can't give money to that." She said, "Why aren't you more like my new preacher? He came out to my house to visit my sons. And he sat down on the front porch with them and had a beer with them and fellowship with them. That's the way you ought to be." I said, "It'd be a cold day where the booger man's going for I'll ever do that." And then she went on a rampage trying to smear me and make me sound bad, like I was self-righteous and all this stuff. I couldn't walk with her. And then, at the end, my last story, write this down. At the end, now this was all at Bendix. At the end of a couple of days, her smearing my name everywhere, saying I was cruel and mean. This boy comes up and he's checking my parts. You know, they got them little calibers and all that stuff. He's checking them, you know, and that's his job, to inspect our parts. I'm running this machine, he's checking my parts. I'd run this machine, he'd check my parts. I had my radio up there and it was playing a tape player, playing Oliver B. Green and J. Harold Smith. I played preaching on mine, all them hellions that go to church all around me playing all that other stuff, and he'd noticed that. And he started asking me questions. So he come in one day and had on this t-shirt. It was black and had a gold cross on it. Y'all know who that was, don't you? Y'all don't know who that was? Oh, you liars, you know who it was. It was a black Sabbath t-shirt. And he'd been to their concert in Charlotte, so on the back of it had stuff written. And it had a piece of a verse out of the Bible. They were Antichrist. And on that front, it had a big old dragon covering up that cross. And in his hand, he had a star. As soon as I saw it, I knew what it meant. By the way, how do rock singers going to hell know all this stuff? Because the devil knows the Bible. That's how they know it. He's holding that star. I said, "Do you know what you're wearing?" He said, "Yeah, I went to concert. Got stoned, man. It was wonderful." I said, "That ain't wonderful. That's straight out of hell." I said, "Do you know what that means?" He said, "It's just a t-shirt." I said, "It's not just a t-shirt." And I explained to him. I said, "That cross is the cross of Christ. They called themselves Black Sabbath for a reason." And I said, "On the front of it, that dragon. That's that old dragon in the book of Revelation. And in his hand is the star, the bright and morning star, Jesus Christ. And your t-shirt is saying that he's conquered the cross And he's got Jesus in his hand, and he's in control, not Jesus. His eyes got about that big. He got white. He said, "I'll be right back." He took off. A couple minutes later, he come back. He had on a different t-shirt, and he had that t-shirt in his hand. He threw it at me. He said, "Take this thing. Do something with it." Now, I could fellowship with him over the gospel, and I did give him the gospel. I don't know if he ever got saved or not. But I stood there and talked to that boy. Now, if he'd have bragged on that shirt and been anti-Christ, I couldn't have done that. But he was humble about it. And so, after that, he would come to my machine to check parts, and we'd fellowship in the gospel. I'd give him the gospel every time he come. But that woman said her preacher drank beer with her son. She's in darkness. She's not in the light. She don't know nothing about the light. I'm not having anything to do with that crowd. By the way, check your TV preachers along those lines too.
Amen. Yeah.
I'm not against anybody, but I'm for a whole lot.
Amen.
I'm for. I don't hate anybody, but there's a lot of things in this book that it tells me to hate. And the Bible says there's some things that God loves, there's some things that God hates. So I ought to love some things, I ought to hate some things. And it says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Becky may not remember this, I'll tell you a story on her. You can't live in a preacher's house without being used for an illustration in a sermon. She was a young teenager. I don't remember how old. Not very old. I think she just went into Northwestern, Rawson Road or somewhere. And we lived separately. Our family lived separately.
I didn't go to Rock Hill.
Huh?
I didn't go to Rock Hill.
No, we didn't go to Rock Hill. We wouldn't let her go there. Stay out of my prison. But she came home one day, one weekend, and said, told us that she was wanting to go to this party. And me and my wife said, "Well, who's giving the party?" And she called some girl's name. And my wife said, "We don't know her. Where does she live?" And Becky kind of told us where she lived. We said, "Well, we don't know those people. Are they Christians?" She said, "I don't know. Where do they go to church?" "I don't know." And we said, "You can't go to that party." She stormed up those stairs mad. That was you.
No, I need to correct you.
Wait a
that
minute.
That was not at that age when you lived in a house with Satan.
Oh, okay.
That was another child, the only child that was
It was Charity then. It was Charity. We'll blame it on Charity. It was Charity then. You could have let me been wrong, saved me a lot of embarrassment.
Because I didn't invite you, people didn't
like. Okay. It was Charity. Alright, get back in the book. It was Charity then. Charity stormed up those stairs, and she came down a few minutes later and stood on those stairs and talked over the rail, and here's what she said. "Thank y'all for saying no. I really didn't want to go to the party anyway. I just felt pressured to go." You know, there's a lot of Christians like that. People will pressure you to do things that you really don't want to do anyway, but you'll do it just to have fellowship with them. That's a dangerous thing to do. I love everybody. I don't hate anybody, but I'm not fellowshipping with everybody.
Amen.
And I'm not any better than the worst one.
Amen.